is taken from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. It's in your notes, and I'd like for us to read that together. Let's read it. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. There's an amazing promise from Jesus himself to each person here today. And the promise is that he will do a greater work in your life if you come before him with faith and trust him and ask him for it. He says that the things that he did, we will do, but even greater works than these can be done to any individual that lays hold of the promises of God and believes him for the impossibility of tomorrow. And so this morning I want to share not only about your individual life, but also the life of the church. God can take a group of people, a number of them, and do a greater work as well. Next Sunday is the Invite Your One Day. We've been planning this for some time, and the challenge is that every person here find at least one person who will commit to coming next Sunday. And so Invite Your One is one of those greater work days. I'll tell you why. If every person here brought just one person, you could potentially double in size for that one day. And so Jesus said the harvest fields are white unto harvest, and he challenges us to be laborers in the harvest field. And so as we think about a greater work, God positioning us for something better tomorrow, I want to share with you three keys to experiencing a greater work. It applies to the individual life. It also applies to the church collectively. And so let's get started in your notes. When you think about keys, or what are the essential elements that create a greater work experience, here's what they are. Number one, a great work begins with believers who are on the move. People who are on the move for the kingdom. Now, in Acts chapter 1, we find that Jesus has died on the cross, he rose again, and he's now ready to ascend back into heaven. And so read with me verses 9 through 11 from Acts chapter 1 in your notes. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way, and you have seen him go into heaven." Imagine with me, it's the day that Jesus ascends back into heaven, and the disciples are watching, and others are watching his exit from this earth back to heaven. They were gazing intently, looking to the sky. The key thought here is there are times we gaze and we look intently, but there's also times we must transition and then be on the move as Christians. God calls his children to be people who are on the move and doing something fruitful in his kingdom. Jesus put it this way in John 9. He said, "So long as it is day, we must do the work for him who sent me." I want to show you some slides of what it means to be on the move. The word team means together everyone achieves more. I want to thank you, the church family, for being a team. because as I look back over the last couple months, there's just been a lot happening, and the church family is on the move. For example, the tea party yesterday was a great group team effort. Going back to the women's conference that Angelica and Susan talked about, and let's see, Peg, there's a group that went down there. They've been on the move. The Chosen series at the theater, people are on the move. Life groups, people are meeting together. How about the Mother's Day meal that the guys put on for the ladies? People are on the move. The sewing ministry that Jane heads up, people are on the move. How about the pavilion? Kevin's been talking with Don Tweedy, and I think this month of May, he plans to get out there and start moving some dirt around. People are on the move. How about the family center? Things are happening, and a video is being made of what it's going to look like. Things are on the move. So understand, it takes a team to accomplish great tasks for God. But people, you and me, need to be a people that are on the move. I came across a quote by Thomas Edison, and he says, "There's no substitute for hard work." Isn't that true? It just doesn't fall into our laps. So whatever it is in your life, individually or as a church, it takes effort, and there's no substitute for hard work. Whether it be soup on Tuesday nights, Tuesday afternoons, whether it be a special gathering like yesterday, it takes work and a lot of it. But understand, if you and I want to be a part of a greater work that God wants to do in our personal lives or in the community, we have to be a people that are being willing to be on the move for the kingdom's purposes. So number one, that's it, be on the move. Number two, the second truth or key about a greater work is this. A great work begins with believers praying together. Praying together. Read with me verses 12 through 14 in your notes. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Understand, Jesus has just ascended back into heaven. The disciples are trying to figure out the next step of life. And you know what they do? They don't move out just yet, but they pray. If you want something powerful to happen in your life, it always starts with prayer. And so the disciples and others gathered together, known as the upper room, and they joined together in this thing called prayer. Here's a couple quotes on prayer I want to share with you. There we go. "My friends, if we are going to do a great work for God, we must spend much time in prayer. We have got to be closeted with God." Quote from Dwight L. Moody, an evangelist from a previous era. I want to talk about your prayer closet. Jesus said, if you want to see a great work in your life, if you want to see a change in your circumstances, if you want to see a change in your own heart or in other people's lives, it begins in the closet of prayer. And so when you do it individually, you know, you don't go out into the public. Jesus said, go to your prayer closet, and that's where the power is released. You see, when we invest time in the prayer closet experience, the supernatural presence of God goes before us. So the disciples are in the upper room. They're trying to figure out the next step. Jesus has just gone to heaven, and they said, what is the next thing? And they went to prayer about it. You may be at an intersection in your life. Maybe it's a big decision on a career, or where you're going to go to school, or marriage, kids, whatever it might be. And so understand that it's time invested there that releases God's power to prepare for your next greater thing. Here's another quote. Whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to pray. If you want something powerful in your future, go to your prayer closet. Just spend some time there in God's presence, asking and saying, God, can you direct me? But also listening. And what it does, it creates a communion in which God will prepare your heart for the next great thing he has for your life. Now, Bjerget put together a 24-hour prayer window for our Invite Your One Day, which is next Sunday. And it's from Wednesday at 6 a.m. to Thursday, 6 a.m. I believe she broke it out into five-minute segments, but it's out on the table. You can see here. And I just challenge everyone just to sign up for a prayer slot. Hopefully you can do more than 5 minutes, but put your name on there somewhere. And what we're going to do is for that 24-hour period, we're going to believe God for the next thing, the great thing that he's promised us. Because prayer always precedes him doing a great work in our midst. So be sure you sign up for that. Back of your sermon listening guide, Jeremiah 33:3. Let's read that together. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. If you want to take a simple promise to your prayer closet, take this one. And say, God, your word says, if I call to you, do it in faith. Do it with intensity. Do it with an expectation. If you call to him, he says he will answer us and show us great and unsearchable things we did not know. And it all begins with being willing to put the time into the prayer closet for your life individually, as well as for the church as a whole in our community. So key number one, the greater work, we have to be people that are willing to be on the move. And I have to compliment you, the church family. You're an amazing group of people doing a lot of things in our community. But secondly, always remember, it starts with time in the prayer closet before God for him to release power to go before us. And finally, number three. The third key of a greater work is this. A great work begins with believers inviting or engaging other people. We become vessels in which we connect with other people. In our story in Acts chapter 5, the angel appears, and let's read these verses together. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of the new life. Do you realize you have the full message of the new life? Many people do not. The full message is this, and this is the abbreviated version. It's called the grace of God that helps a person deal with their past. It's called forgiveness. It's somehow dealing with the things that hang on to us or that have a grip on our life to get free from. The grace of God also gives us hope for the future. It's the full message. My tomorrow can be better than today because of God's grace. And it's grace for the present. It gives me power to change. And the angel said this, go tell the people the full message of the new life. You're here this morning because you have a faith journey going and you came here to worship God and to feed your faith. There's many people on this Sunday morning in our communities that have no clue about the full message that deals with their past, their future, and their present. And so the angel says, tell the people the full message of this new life. Let's read John 6:68 in your notes. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, you have the words to eternal life. It's called heaven or hell. It's the keys to the kingdom. It's knowing that you're going to heaven after this life is over. And our job is this. We become the ambassador or the representative of Christ to tell people about a message that can help them with their past. It gives hope for the future, and it gives power in the present. You and I have been entrusted with that. It's amazing that God did not pick angels to spread the word among human beings. They're an influence and they're a part of our world, but he chose us, human beings, ordinary people, to be the connection to the next person who needs to hear the message that can change their life going forward. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words to eternal life. I want you to understand what you have in your heart this morning. Not only will it rescue you or has rescued you from sin in our past, it can help someone else experience the same thing. That is the message of what is in the container of our human flesh. It's this incredible power that can be a blessing to anyone around the world who is willing to embrace it. Here's a picture I'll have Jack put up. We're really inviting people into this as a conversation. So next Sunday, we're having this special outreach Sunday, and everybody's challenged to bring at least one. And I've got to tell you, I've probably invited about 15 people. I know two said they would come. There may be others that show up. I got other people I want to invite this week. Not everybody is going to say yes, but that's okay. That's how it works. There's different kinds of soil, but Jesus said the fields are wide into harvest. So when you do your inviting this week, here's what I want you to think about. You are inviting people into a conversation that the Holy Spirit will speak to them about their future eternal destiny. Here's a quote by Rick Warren. At most, you will live 100 years on earth. Some might live a little longer, but you will spend forever in eternity. You see, eternity is timelessness. It's hard for our mind to grasp it, but eternity, Jesus spells out, there's a heaven and then there's a hell. He spoke of both, and he says, I have a message for any person on planet Earth, any human being that is willing to receive it. And he's got a gift. And here's the gift. And this is a promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. This is the most important message any of us can carry or share with other people. It's great to know about finances. It's great to know being a wise person is being a good steward in all the different responsibilities of life. But let me tell you, if you want to know the one that's at the top, this is the message that he's entrusted to us to share with other people. You know why? Jesus already paid the price on the cross. He said, it is finished. And he opened heaven's door. And it's a gift of heaven to any person who's willing to receive it. And he's asking us to invite other people into a conversation where God's Spirit would speak to them and they could respond to a message that will help them with their past, give them hope for their future, and give them power in the present. This is a card, and let me share a couple other slides here first. Here's a quote by Billy Graham. I thought it was very good. My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. You know, it's so true. Billy Graham's in heaven today, but this world is just a short journey. We tend to think it'll last forever, that maybe 80, 90, 100 years is a long time. But listen, we all journey through that, and then there is death itself and this thing called eternity in front of us. And this earth is just a journey experience as we prepare for it. So here's a picture of the card. I'll have Jack put it up now. There's a bunch of these in the foyer. And so when you pass these out this week, I want you to understand what you're doing. You are sharing a message with someone that could change their eternal destiny. You're sharing an invitation about to someone that could, the message could change their past and the wounds and the hurt, as well as give them the hope that they need for the future in power in the present. So as you journey through the week, ask God to direct you to the people that he would have you invite. You know why? You're an ambassador for him. I mean, think about it. You're an ambassador for God himself to a broken world who needs relief from their pain, relief from the struggles of the, whether it be an addiction, release from this sense of dread in dealing with guilt and their past. You and I are carriers of a message that can be a game changer for people when they understand that it's a gift from God himself. I have a closing story about a church in Colorado. It's called the Foundry Church. And they averaged about 236 people. That was their rolling weekly attendance. And they did this invite your one day. And they passed out the cards and they did all they could to reach out. And when the day happened, they had 121 visitors. 121. That's a 51% increase. One day it shot up that much. Now here's how it works. The weeks that followed, not everybody stuck, which that's how it works, but they ended up settling at about 288 people, or an increase of 52, which is about 22%. Pretty amazing. One day it shot up, it then went back down, but they were at a higher base. And so the point is this, when we ask God to do a great thing in us, in our individual lives or our church, we go to the prayer closet, but we're willing to be a people on the move, and then we're willing to use our voice and literally reach out to the people in our sphere of influence and invite them into a conversation that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be in prayer for next Sunday. I think it'll be a great day. And as Jack, I think, mentioned earlier, there's no adult class. 8:30 service, then we're going to do a brunch. Just a relaxed time. Then we're going to have the second service. Then we're going to do a lunch. We're going to eat good. And everybody here, maybe you can come to both services. You know, whatever works for you. But the point is this. God is looking for church families to do a greater work. And I believe that he wants to do something great in us and through us as we trust him for next Sunday. So a greater work, you got to be willing to be on the move, but you begin with praying together. But then it also involves connecting, engaging with people who need to hear the message. Listen, they need to hear a message that'll change their eternity, as well as a message that will help them on the earthly journey. Let's bow for prayer.